Over the weekend, North Korea launched what it calls an Earth observation satellite, what the rest of the world sees as the country's first step in designing a long-range missile system. The United Nations condemned the launch, and U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Samantha Power, promised that there would be consequences.
Because of the DPRK's decisions and actions, we will ensure that the Security Council imposes serious consequences.
Consequences, they say, in the UN. David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. What do we think Kim Jong-un hears when the UN says consequences?
I think mostly he hears more of the same. Look, the United States has been putting sanctions on North Korea since the Korean War ended in 1953. And if President Obama leaves office January 20th of next year with Kim Jong-un, the grandson of the founder of the country, still in office, there will have been a dozen presidents of the United States who would have put sanctions on the Kim family in various forms, and they're still standing.
So is there any particular sanction that would relate to this missile program? Could there be control of airspace or anything like that that would relate specifically to this tactic?
The big sanctions so far, John, have been focused on the nuclear test, which was conducted last month, which the North Koreans claimed to be a hydrogen bomb and didn't look like it was a hydrogen bomb, just didn't seem as if it was of the scale necessary to prove that case. And ever since that explosion took place, the U.S. and China have been engaged in a behind-the-scenes arm wrestle over just how severe the sanctions would be. The Chinese want the sanctions limited, as they have in the past, to some individuals who are responsible for the nuclear or missile programs. The U.S. wants much broader sanctions that would cause real economic pain. The Chinese fear, of course, is that real economic pain could lead to a North Korean collapse. They'd get the refugees and they'd get South Korean and perhaps American forces up on their border. They have no interest in that.
So that's interesting. So the Chinese have actually fingered individuals within the North Korean hierarchy that they suggest that the U.S. actually freeze assets of, and the U.S. is saying, no, 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 we want to do something else?
The U.S. has long known the names of individuals and of individual companies that are suppliers to these. There are a lot of U.S. sanctions against those already, and it's very similar to where the U.S. and the rest of the world was in sanctioning Iran a decade ago. But in the end, the sanctions that made a difference in the Iran case were sanctions that really cut off their oil revenues or cut them down a lot, made it extremely difficult for them to do any financial services around the world. It's already very difficult for North Korea to do that. Part of the problem here, John, is North Korea is one of the most sanctioned countries on Earth. So doing additional sanctions frequently is something that they can barely feel. Remember, it was a year ago that President Obama put some additional U.S. sanctions on North Korea in response to the hack of Sony Pictures Entertainment. And I found no evidence that those were anything that the North Koreans actually felt.
Did you hear the GOP debate over the weekend, talk of preemptive strikes and anti-missile systems directed at North Korea? Does that make that rhetoric more plausible?
Well, certainly on the anti-missile system, they're a little behind President Obama here, who has been trying to convince the South Koreans for several years to put in a new ABM system called the THAAD system that intercepts missiles up in the outer atmosphere instead of being focused on missiles that stay inside the atmosphere. So it's focused on the ballistic problem. And the South Koreans have resisted that for fear of angering China. The Chinese think this is directed at them. And so, so far, the South Koreans haven't agreed. President Obama suggested in an interview before the Super Bowl last night that that discussion is now revived.
David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks so much.
Great to be back with you.